Embark on a journey with us where resilience meets opportunity. This is The Dirt Road to Success.
Hi, I'm Skip Colvin. Welcome back to Dirt Road to Success with Jason Koloski. So we just had a major history lesson on how the DoD works. We talked a lot about his history, which was very interesting. Good old boy from Moss Bluff, Louisiana, making it big. And then now you're at Raytheon was the last conversation. You're at the what we call the big box, the military industrial complex.
There you go.
Merger with UTI, I believe it's called?
UTC.
UTC, one of the biggest in the world now. And you say, hey, you're running a division in McKinney. You're lighting the world on fire with all this and reconnaissance and intelligence type stuff. And you decide to make a change.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me how that went.
Well, I often say, you know, as a recon Marine, I'm very morally flexible. That's clearly tongue in cheek.
I almost coughed my coffee up on that one. Morally.
I'm morally flexible.
Okay.
I can wrap my head around a lot of different schools of thought.
Okay.
I don't need a whole lot of direction in life. Mm-hmm. I can kind of just figure it out. But I'd kind of come to this one of these weird moments where, you know, I had to get up in front of people and talk about my white privilege.
And oh, hang on now. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
At Raytheon?
At Raytheon.
Yeah. Okay.
Which Skip, you know.
You're from Moss Bluff.
Well, I felt unqualified to speak on behalf of all the white privilege. You know, I grew up cleaning toilets in a bathroom in a state park that was my first political appointment.
Wait a minute. You're cleaning toilets in a state park.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you got white privilege.
So, I mean, and that's just one example. I had a number of very, glorious jobs when I was a teenager, and scrubbing bathrooms was one of them. So I didn't feel like I could speak on it. And in all seriousness, it's a silly concept for silly people. And it's it's one of the things that China has played with for years and years and created one of their great famines with exactly this kind of nonsense. Yeah. So I was a highly compensated executive. Meteoric rise within the company, especially for not being an engineer, I was doing extraordinarily well. And with the leadership change that came with the merger and with the bigger focus on kind of faux social dynamics, less focus on top line growth, less focus on making our warfighters safe, I just couldn't do it. Just couldn't keep, I didn't want to play anymore.
You know, I think about what you're talking about, Jason, and, you know, the whole premise in this show, Dirt Road to Success, is really finding those people who have overcome those potholes in life and really continue to put one foot in front of the other, which is what you talked about. Right. And I think about you coming from Moss Bluff, and I know Moss Bluff. It's not a wealthy area, okay? First thing, let's say Louisiana is not a wealthy area, okay? I know, I mean, my good friend owns Gillis Grocery right there in Moss Bluff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. And I mean, these people are salt of the earth,
yes.
Hardworking people.
Yeah.
And look where you've come, though. And then for someone at Raytheon to say you have white privilege, you know, I talk about a little bit about my story sometimes to people that, you know, I'm youngest of seven and first graduate high school, only one never be arrested. You know, I talk about some of those crazy stories, but the reality.
Wait a minute. You graduated high school and you haven't been arrested?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And and because people think, oh, because I do what I do in my professional role, that it must have been easy for me. It must have been. And they don't realize the struggles you go through. Because I didn't work cleaning bathrooms, but I did some pretty nasty jobs through high school and college just to get out.
Yeah.
You know, working two jobs one semester to pay for the next. People don't want to know about that. And you look at where you are, you're a senior executive with Raytheon, you're killing it, you're adding value to the organization, you're taking it to the next level. And then they come to you and say, because of your white privilege, we want you to talk about that. I wouldn't stomach it.
No.
I wouldn't stomach it.
And I did it. It led me to a, you know, I don't want to overstate this and, you know, had some grand epiphany, but basically just sat out on the side of a hill in West Virginia. I have a hunting camp out there and just
Was there bourbon involved?
There was moonshine involved.
Oh, I like how you think. I like how you think.
Spent the day kind of contemplating what would be next, and just came up to the conclusion that, look, this isn't going to work. I have always been a huge proponent of the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. I have always loved firearms as a kid. And so I was going to just reach out to Winchester or to Remington or Colt or somebody and just make a change. Nothing dramatic. There was no more thought than that, which led me to a couple of Google searches. And it turns out Winchester's not an American company any longer. And then so I looked at Browning, which is also not an American company.
Yeah.
And looked at Colt, which is also not. They're all owned by European conglomerates now. And so this is.
So you mean the Colt, the Browning, the Winchester, not American companies, but they're American rifles, but they're not American companies.
We have European conglomerates that own those companies. Most of those companies do not build firearms. They assemble firearms from pieces that are sent from South Korea or Spain or pick a country. Mm-hmm. But it's from overseas and they're assembled here. And so the deeper I kind of went down the rabbit hole, you know, it really didn't fit the narrative of what one part of the media likes to tell you. And it struck me two things. One, from an American standpoint, so many of these great titans of our firearms industry are gone. Their names are being used to create profit for mm-hmm. these European companies, but they're gone, and they've been gone for some time now. So it struck me as a very sad thing from an American standpoint. From a business standpoint, it kind of struck me as, you know, remember in the 80s with Lee Iacocca, the pride is back. Let's take back our auto industry. Let's do this. And so that kind of sent me on a journey with a couple of investors to create what, you know, our vision for Watchtower is to become the next great American firearms company. So we looked at a number of different companies, small to mid-size, ended up acquiring one down here in Spring, Texas, and kind of put the flag in the ground. And we've been working at it pretty hard since. And I can dig into all of that. But the thing that we are doing day one from the start was every single thing we do is based in some kind of piece of Americana. Watchtower itself was named after the invasion of Guadalcanal. Operation Watchtower was that invasion in the South Pacific, final resting place of 7,100 American souls, turning point in the Pacific. I thought that was to pay honor and homage to those men was, you know, the ultimate compliment. So that's how we started it. All of our serialization for all of our rifles, pistols, whatever, start with 1775. We have right now probably the hottest handgun on the market. We were on the cover of Guns and Ammo this month.
Yeah, and that's a big deal to be on the cover of Guns and Ammo as really a young company.
9 months.
Yeah.
9 months into it. We didn't pay for it. Most of the time you pay to be on the cover. It's literally that hot.
And it's a bad pistol.
We can get into that. I want to get into it. But Apache, it's while, of course, that is an homage by its very name to American Indians, to those warriors. But what it's named after is Operation Apache Snow, which most people would know as Hamburger Hill during Vietnam. So everything is some kind of touch point into America. Our business plan is to basically do the opposite of what Sig Sauer is doing. So Sig was obviously booted out of Germany because their politics don't align with any type of Second Amendment or firearms thinking. They reestablish a beachhead here in America, but every single thing they do, they don't really ever have to worry about a line of credit because L&O Holdings, which is this major conglomerate in Germany, constantly feeds them money. Hmm. And so that's how they were able to go win the next generation rifle competition with the U.S. Army. That money, though, they're a profit center. So that money goes back to Germany, which, again, probably funds left-leaning causes in Hollywood and other places that are not particularly hospitable to the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
So it's this weird, I would encourage people who buy firearms, I would encourage enthusiasts to take a deeper look at where you're spending your money, because it's not going where you think it is. And it's not just Watchtower. There's other American companies that are out there. There's not as many as there used to be, but they're out there. And I'd encourage your listeners to put that, when they go to buy firearms, put your money there.
Yeah.
Don't give it to these left-leaning European-centric companies, because they're reinvesting in getting rid of firearms, not helping the industry.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. You know, obviously you've got a pretty good group of brand ambassadors too. One of those, obviously, Rob O'Neill, which is
my man.
You know, got his own podcast, and yep. You know, sorry, Rob, I'm coming for you. Nick Johnson, and then Mark D'Ambrosia. Yep. You want to talk a little bit about that relationship with those three guys?
Yeah. So they're all great. Rob, love him to death. He could have signed on with any firearms manufacturer in the world.
Yeah.
So the guy who pops Osama bin Laden, and he had other offers, but our story was a little bit more compelling, and you know, we're very proud to have him as part of our team. He brings with him a certain degree of controversy, what I would call kind of junior varsity internet controversy. But you know, if anybody that was on the Neptune Spear raid wants to tell me how much they like him or don't like him, I'll listen to that. If you weren't on the raid, then I really don't give a shit about what you think. So that's Rob again, great American. Nick Johnson, known as Pew View.
Yeah.
If your listeners have not seen
that dude,
Nick shoot.
What?
So, and this is something, you know, Rob and I would agree on, is you have to be a pretty decent shooter if you're in SEAL teams or SEAL Team 6 or as a recon Marine. Nick is a whole different level.
Yeah, he's. If you've not watched his videos, you are missing something. I've spent hours. He does things that just don't seem real.
And when you watch him, they kind of don't look real. So when you have to go out to his farm in Iowa to actually stand next to him and go, "Holy crap, you just literally did that!
How did you do that?
How'd you do that, dude?" But he's phenomenal. He has a channel called Pew View. He, the first 1,000 of our Apaches were called Pew View Limited Edition Apaches. They had a certain kind of grip, super, super light. He likes a lighter grip. A lot of people don't. We get into a lot of 9mm 45 caliber debates.
Yeah. Just for our audience, the Apache is a double stack 9mm built on a platform, and I've shot it, and it's like shooting. It's just butter. So smooth. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But just so you know, 9mm double stack, beautiful body. Great looking. I encourage them to go to Watchtower Firearms and check out the site on it.
Yep.
I mean, it's absolutely beautiful pistol.
Yeah, they can see it on the website. We have direct-to-consumer sales on the website, so if they want to buy one, they can just buy it straight off the website. It'll be shipped to their FFL. You go to the supermarket, we're on the cover of Guns and Ammo this month with the Apache.
Yeah.
But no, Nick, we did a 1,000 run special edition, as you said, it's a double stack 1911. It has an island compensator on the front, so it returns to zero almost automatically after the shot. It's entirely PVD coated, so physical vapor disposition. We literally take chromium and we embed it into the metal at the substrate level, so it's carbon resistant. You just wipe it clean. You don't have to sit there and scrub it for hours. It moves like butter or glass or on rails, pick your analogy.
Yeah.
And it's anything that's PVD coated, salt water resistant. So it is a, it's very satisfying in that particular genre of firearms. Terran Tactical, who's well known, does the John Wick guns. You know, his guns are very expensive and very good, and his are kind of considered the best of the best. You have Atlas, which is, you know, not too far down that ladder. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, we're kind of number three. So again, for 10 months on the job, 9 months on the job, that's pretty satisfying. And we have back orders. We're trying to get out left and right. And it's exciting. We're taking this idea of American built premium firearms, and we're turning it into a reality.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of hard work, but we're getting there one step at a time.
Well, you know, what's really interesting me is I get to go over sometimes and check out your place and get to walk in. And of course, Ray's there, you know, he's bigger than life, not literally, but figuratively. I said it, Ray. I said it. but then you get to, you know, I've been in the back. Mm-hmm. And I see your everyday American veteran. Yep. And I want to put emphasis on this. Everyday American veteran.
Right.
People that have served are actually putting these weapons together.
Right.
So not only do they serve our country in the military, now they're serving by building an American-made weapon. And I got a chance to visit with some of your gunsmiths, which are just fantastic people.
Yeah.
And they're so excited and so passionate about what they're building. Now, you got a new pistol that's about to come out, right? Or is it just came out?
No, we unveil it at NRA.
Okay. You want to talk a little bit about, is it okay to talk about it?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh yeah. We did the announcement. Yes. So, Demolition Ranch.
Mm. So another great.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt has, come on as one of our brand ambassadors.
Okay.
We're very excited to have him. We're going to do a ported double stack 1911. There's going to be some other changes. You're gonna have to wait for the unveiling.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be our second 1911 that we're bringing out, and we're gonna unveil it at NRA. And we're really excited. It's like the Apache, absolutely beautiful. It's gonna be a little bit more duty oriented.
Okay.
It's gonna be more ruggedized. The Apache is a true race gun. It's meant for competition shooting. The Demolition Ranch pistol is going to be far more ruggedized, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So I just want to make sure our audience understands. WatchtowerFirearms.com.
Correct.
You also want to go to Nick's site, which is Pew View.
Yeah, Pew_view.
Mm-hmm, and check his YouTubes out. They're amazing videos. And then you have the Demolition Ranch. So you need to check that one out also. So I'm giving those guys the opportunity to, you know, our audience to go check those videos, because when you see them shooting with the Apache and with this new pistol, it's going to be pretty amazing. I mean, when you watch these guys shoot, it's something off the charts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very impressive. The, you're actually getting the scoop here. So, Demolition Ranch, we don't have it on the website yet. We announced that he had a big, range day out in Bernie.
Yep.
And those are, it's kind of like the Burning Man for firearms. It's a unique event. If you've never been to it, Matt hosts these, I think.
Well, you know, you didn't get stuck in the mud, did you? Well, cause you know, this year it was the Burning Man was all, they had all the rain and they got stuck in the mud.
It was more of an analogy. Not something I frequent.
Okay. I mean, I figured you'd been there in the outfits and all, you know, your UFO hat.
Yes. My tinfoil hat. Yeah. Yes. With all the secret stuff. Matt comes on board. We'll launch all of that in May 17th is NRA in Dallas. And then Mark D'Ambrosio. Mark is like myself. He's a former, Mark's a former Force Recon Scout Sniper.
Okay.
Great American. Does a lot of backpacking, outdoors type of training.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going
to... So like survivalist training?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. And he is going to take out our first hunting rifle.
Mm, which I have seen.
We've made some changes, actually.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
this one we can't get into. We have to sign a couple more NDAs. If everything goes well, this will be the gun that surpasses what carbon fiber hoped they could be.
Oh, wow.
Totally different innovation, totally different metallurgical makeup. And it will be the first truly innovative thing we've done. Now, again, 9-10 months, and we're going down the innovation path as opposed to, great weapons. But this is different.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I'll come back on the show and talk about it, because it's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer.
So you're building weapons for the competition shooter, the everyday shooter, and then you're building for the hunter. But we hadn't even got into the other platforms.
We can get into those too.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so right now we are our AR-15 lineup. We call them our Type 10s, our Type 15s, our Type 5s. They were born from a competition pedigree. So these were ARs that were basically made as race guns for three gun competitions. Extremely tight tolerances, down to a thou of material between the metal touching each other. So what does that do? Most ARs, especially the cheaper ones. So you go get a Smith & Wesson AR. It's a $400, $500.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a tambourine going through the woods.
You rattle it. It rattles.
Yeah. Right. Now, in all fairness, I mean, that's mil-spec rifles are made that way. So water, mud, whatever, sand falls out of it. These aren't those rifles. The sub-MOA accuracy of these rifles is... It is what it is. I mean, these are on target every single time.
Yeah.
If you miss with one of these, then go get your eyes checked. So they're extremely well made, extremely tight tolerances, and down to even the muzzle brakes on them. So we build the muzzle brakes to push gas down. So again, return to zero after each shot.
Yeah.
Now, what we've done since we bought the company is we moved away from a lot of the flashy colors, a lot of the things that I didn't care for in the acquisition when we bought the company. We've pushed that out, and we're moving them more into a duty type of footprint.
Yeah. So your colors are
they're basic. We're looking at FDE, so tan or basic black, olive green, and
which I like the olive green. That's a great looking color.
And then it's a kind of a darker off gray. But those are the four color schemes.
Yeah. So no more pink, no more. Yeah, I mean, I thought you loved the pink, Jason. I thought you loved it.
But it's not in my
color wheel. The weapon.
It's not in my color wheel.
Okay.
Yeah, you look great in it.
It goes with your shoes, though.
No, fair enough.
So back to the 10, the 15, and the 5.
Right. Yeah. So... we recently brought on a new chief operations officer, came over from Beretta, used to be in charge of program development, and I think the factory in Tennessee also. And a very serious gentleman, very focused on innovation. So, you know, our first wave of change was to drive more into the duty market, which we've done. And we're getting ready for our second big wave of change, which is really getting our AR line along with our hunting / precision rifles, into a place where we can start going after larger military contracts. We've already been able to win several law enforcement contracts. We've been working with a number of folks in Texas and Louisiana and Arkansas. Those contracts should be coming in relatively soon. And, you know, it's baby steps right now. We're trying to do an awful lot of things at one time, but as this all kind of congeals and comes together, what we're doing, and I mentioned this earlier, we're doing the opposite of what SIG has done. They've taken overseas money, pushed it into the facility in New Hampshire to go win contracts with the American military, and then they send that profit back to L&O Holdings in Germany. Once we have more of a solidified base, we're going after foreign military contracts around the globe to win those contracts and then bring that money back into America.
I like the sound of that.
Right. And then...
And right here in Texas.
Well, we're going to grow our footprint in Texas. Mm-hmm. That's undeniable. We're already getting into those type of conversations with developers. But also Florida, also Alabama, also Arkansas, and can just continue to build it out till, again, kind of reaching back into history where we become that next great American firearms company on par with what Winchester, you know, may used to be.
So you're not going to New York?
No, I'm probably not. Okay. We're probably not going to do much in New York.
Well, AOC might run you out of there, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to spend a lot of time there. You know, it's interesting. And again, I'm very much kind of the glass is half full, not empty. You know, we have 27 states, getting ready to do 28 states that are now concealed constitutional carry states.
Yeah. Yeah.
60% of the country, right? And then you got another 10 or so that are kind of just on the fence. They can go either way.
Yeah.
You only really have 6 or 7 states that are batshit nuts.
Yeah.
Right? It's only 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But if you turn on television, you'd swear it's everywhere.
That's right. That's right.
But it's really not that. It's not
that's
that
why
awful.
We got to stay off. You got to stay off the television. No mainstream media. Focus on just watching great shows on Americonic TV. Yeah. They don't sponsor me, by the way, but I do like Randall Reeder, and he founded Americonic TV. So good shows, you know.
Yep.
Good shows. Yeah, I agree. I think for your growth plan, what's so interesting to me, something that you said that resonates, is that you are passionate about building high-quality weapons.
Yep.
You want to do business not only with our government and agencies around the country, but other countries,
yep.
And that money comes back.
It comes back here.
It comes back here.
Yeah.
Which is then reinvested in new jobs, new opportunities, new real estate, new products. You know, if somebody's looking at this show right now and they're thinking, man, I don't know. You know, I could buy the $450 AR, or I could go buy a Watchtower Firearms. When you hold both of them in your hand, which I have, mm-hmm. It's night and day.
Yeah.
And from a dependability standpoint, if you're ever in an action item or action situation, you want the dependability of that rifle.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if you're law enforcement.
Oh, all day long.
No question.
It's funny. So, the previous company did not focus that much in the law enforcement space. We've mm-hmm. made it kind of a focus of ours. And we have yet to walk into a police department and they're like, holy crap.
Oh yeah. They're salivating over it.
They're salivating
over
it.
Yeah.
And it's everything from, you know, the fit and finish mm-hmm. of our pistols and rifles. It's everything from, well, tell me about the bolt. Why is the bolt carrier and the bolt like PVD coated?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I literally bring them to the range. We put a couple hundred rounds through it so that bolt's covered in carbon. And then I take a rag out and I wipe it clean. And I say, okay, how long did that take me? A second.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take you to clean that other bolt? How in the malfunctions you're going to have from all that carbon. Mm-hmm. And they immediately just like, get it.
Yeah.
And
it's price competitive.
It's price competitive, although there's no getting around. Our prices are higher. These are premium mm-hmm. weapon systems.
Key is price competitive.
Yeah.
If you're going to go up in premium and compare yours.
Apples to apples.
Yeah, that's right.
Apples to apples. You know, when you're looking at Watchtower rifles, what you're really looking at is similar to a Wilson Combat, similar to a high-end Daniel Defense. And ours beat them at price, and we have more to offer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you can mix and match it however you want. The great thing about just picking up the phone and calling the shop and say, hey, here's what I'm looking for. You've got a lot of guys there that can help them build exactly what they're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And not just from an individual like myself wanting to buy something, but from an agency. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we have police forces or you know, any kind of state agency that's watching this podcast, they can reach out to you, watchtowerfirearms.com.
Oh, yeah.
Go in, check out, build up a package, get quotes. You do work with law enforcement agencies, mm-hmm. you know, the retail price, and then there's the wholesale price. So I know you guys will work with them to put something together for them. Is there anything else coming up down the pipeline for Watchtower that we need to be aware of? Something exciting, something like maybe there's a package that you do because, you know, I'm leaning towards this package you used to do where it was you buy the rifle, you get a suppressor.
Well, we have every so often we'll do some pretty crazy mm-hmm. sales, moving inventory out to bring on new stuff.
Yeah.
And we kind of went through that. Right now we're more at a stabilizing place
mm-hmm.
where we're looking to take these innovative ideas that we've started and then to bring them to maturity and bring them to the market.
Yeah.
So that is, that's our focus for right now. It is expanding our handguns.
Yep.
Moving from the compensated to the ported. We will have a striker fire, pistol coming out. That's in the works. Too many variables to really get into how that's going to work just yet. I mentioned the hunting rifles.
Yes.
That's going to be extraordinary.
And what rounds will the hunting rifle be in?
We're going to start with long stroke bolts. So it could be anything from 7 PRC to 300 Win Mag to 6.5 Creedmoor. It'll be all of those calibers.
Okay.
It'll be a long stroke bolt to start with.
The plan to do a short throw?
We'll do a short stroke, but I don't see us doing that for another year or two.
Okay.
What we're trying to accomplish is a couple things at once, both big game hunting. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need the more magnum size cartridges. Yep. So elk and up. And also I can't foot stomp highlight the amount of attention we've got from law enforcement.
Yeah.
So we want to move into providing some type of precision shooting or sniper type of platform.
Okay.
For them. That's one of the things when we talk with them, they're like, hey, we want your ARs. Hey, we'd love to, you know, the departments that allow you to carry 1911s, we're working several deals with those right now, but they all ask for that type of precision shooting capability. And so we're running towards that as fast as we can.
Left and right-hand bolt or just right-hand bolt?
Just right-hand bolt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there ever a plan to do a left-hand bolt?
I'm sure. I mean, there's so many different niche variations on every single platform. It's nothing against left-handed shooters. There's just a bigger market for right-handed shooters right now.
Absolutely. Go where the market share is. Just one more question. So somebody's looking for a rifle. They come to your website. Not only can you take care of the rifle, you can take care of the optics, outfit it however they want it. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to reach out to you guys. Help them, you know, your team will help them build a package of what they're comfortable with. All one-stop shop.
Yeah.
And then they can transfer it to your FFL dealer.
Yep.
And you can go pick it up.
Yep.
So
easy day.
Jason, man, Watchtower Firearms. Man, we want to get these guys going there and checking it out. Go check out the Pew_View, and then Demolition Ranch.
Yep.
You got some exciting things coming on the NRA. Yep. That's May 17th, May 17th, I think you said.
Yep.
So, audience, be on the lookout. You got some exciting things coming. Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate your time. Appreciate the opportunity and the friendship. Appreciate the friendship, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
All right, thank you.